Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
It's for Greg Corumbus. I am Brett Witterbull. It is the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, joined as always by Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey there. Doing good, Brett.
You know, it is good to be sitting here with you about to sample these martinis. I'm really excited about the good one coming straight away at us. Apparently, the National Journal has a piece out that says immigration isn't a slam dunk for the Democrats anymore. Tell me it's so.
Sure. And in a way, this is kind of finding this silver lining to what is a really bad situation on our southern border. Josh Krasauer, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, always kind of had a nice contrarian viewpoint over there. And he points out that, look, for a long time, the conventional wisdom in Washington and most of the political world was, well, immigration is this huge winning issue for Democrats, and it's bad news for Republicans. The Republicans are at war, you know, the elites are at war with their base over this issue. They come across as xenophobic and mean and cruel and heartless, and the Democrats have this win-win situation, which either an amnesty gets passed and a whole bunch of illegal immigrants become U.S. citizens and get the chance to vote, and they're likely to vote Democratic, or Republicans block it, and then the Republicans look mean and nasty, and Hispanic voters don't want to vote for them. Well, that conventional wisdom is very much getting shot to heck right now, because you have this set of circumstances in which we have this really awful situation in which, you know, so many kids are coming across the border from Central America, and it comes across, you know, one, is an open border really, and even, you know, it's what's seen as kind of a reaction to the DREAM Act, or this announcement that we will not deport kids who come here illegally as children. We end up in this situation in which we've created, this helped fuel a humanitarian crisis. And so all of a sudden, wait a second, you know, the Democrats' approach has these negative consequences. And a really fantastic, vivid example of this is Martin O'Malley, who says that sending, you know, kids back is condemning them to death. But he also privately told the White House, don't send them to Maryland because he doesn't want them. And oh, by the way, the only place they could put them would be in a place that's in a deeply Republican area of the state. And they could be harassed or worse. So the rural parts of my state are full of ignorant, hateful hicks. So I get trusted with these kinds of responsibilities. So send the, you know, we'd be welcoming, just not to my state, basically. So O'Malley comes across with an enormous amount of egg on his face. And really, you know, the Democrats have feeling the pressure to say, look, you know, whatever you think of what should be done with people who are here illegally, unless you secure the border, the problem's only going to get worse, which means it has to be dealt with first. And it's kind of forcing the Democrats to acknowledge they're going to have to do something they don't want, which is, you know, secure the southern border.
So, Jim, as you look at this, if the anger is kind of equally spread and it's not a slam dunk for the Democrats, what's the importance of Republicans to make inroads into the Hispanic community to try to then convert some of that opposition or anger about this policy into actual material support for their efforts legislatively?
Yeah. I mean, I realize I'm not speaking for Republicans as a whole, but my attitude has always been, of those 11 million people here, there are a couple steps that the first thing, anybody who's involved in crimes, gang members, drug dealers, send them back and target those and prioritize those. I think everybody, there's kind of a broad agreement to that.
Right.
And then the question is, of those people who are here, how many want to become U.S. citizens and how many really just want work visas? Because my sense is, and you talk to people who study the immigration issues, that a good portion of these people don't want to become Americans. They don't intend on spending the rest of their lives here. They have a dream of someday returning to their home country, having made a good amount of money and able to support their families and continuing their lives back in their home country. So in that case, you're not really an immigrant now, are you? You don't really want to become Americans. And once these people are no longer potential Democratic voters, one, I think a lot of Republican opposition, you know, dissipates. And I think a lot of Democratic enthusiasm dissipates as well. I mean, part of the frustration of discussing this issue is how much the Democrats basically see this as winning the lottery and getting 11 million new voters nationally.
All right. Well, that is certainly a good martini. It's a great way to start off the day. And that support for conservative ideology, for conservative politics, for Republican politics, however you want to slice it, that's very important. And it seems like we're having a great run this year so far. But then all of a sudden, here comes the waiter and the waitress with a very bad, bad martini, Jim Garrity, because there in the center ring comes Todd Akin. What are we doing with this bad one, Jim?
Well, Todd Akin has a book out, and he's promoting it relentlessly. And I don't know how much you've been listening to the program lately, but if there's anything I can't stand, it's somebody relentlessly hawking his book. I talked all about it in my novel, The Weed Agency, now available on Amazon. So along comes Todd Akin. He's got his book in which he's standing on principle, and at the darn party elites are selling him out, and you know, nobody, he's the only man with courage, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Fine, it's a free country, he can write his own book. And now he's on doing a media tour for this, which means, you know, he's doing more television, and of course people are asking him about his legitimate rape and you know, comments like that from 2012 that ended up being so destructive to his Senate hopes and, you know, quite a bit of collateral damage to Republicans across the country. And so apparently on Chuck Todd this morning, he was talking about how some of his staffers have been conceived in rape, and that's why, like, here's the thing. Rape is, like, one of the ugliest topics you can talk about. And so, like, a good portion of folks are like, look, if you're a politician and you're talking about rape, chances are something has gone terribly wrong.
Yes.
This is not a topic, you know, and obviously, you know, Akin got into this by saying that he believes abortion should be illegal in all cases, even cases of rape, and that gets into a very, you know, touchy and difficult stance to defend. But what's kind of intriguing about this, I got into a bit of a Twitter fight with a guy named Wesley Denton, who writes for the Boston Globe. I think of, he's generally a bright guy, but he's saying, well, boy, Republicans have really loud, you know, the RNC, the NRSC, the Republican committees have really screwed up by allowing Akin to go on and do these TV show interviews. And, you know, Akin is not running for office or anything.
Right.
He's not in office anymore.
Right.
And so I said, what leverage do these committees have to keep Akin off the television short of hiring a hitman? And Brett, when I say that, I'm not saying we should hire a hitman. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just putting that out there in the background. And Denton, you know, seemed like, well, you know, they should have at least made an effort. I'm like, look, his whole book is how he doesn't listen to the party leaders anymore, right? And, you know, they already tried to stuff him into a wooden box in the back of a truck back in 2012, right? I mean, the idea that, hey, Todd, it's Reince Priebus. I'd really like it if you could cancel all your TV appearances on your book tour. Yeah, he's going to go right along with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, like, I don't know what, you know, and you notice how the story goes from, boy, Todd Akin is a doofus, to, boy, Republicans are screwing up. Republicans are foolish for not stopping him. And one, you know, legally, it's a free country. Todd Akin can go out and say whatever he wants, no matter how dumb it is. Two, you know, what, like, now, what he should realize is that by going out and doing this, now every Republican candidate's going to be, you know, on the campaign trail from here until November. It's going to be, so, Cory Gardner, what do you think of Todd Akin? You know, and having to put themselves in a situation where, you know, inevitably they start talking about rape and abortion and things like that, when they'd really like to talk about Obamacare and the economy and the things that are front and center and stuff. So it's frustrating. You kind of wish Todd Akin would just, you know, find something else to do with his life instead of go out and do these interviews and sound like a guy who doesn't understand, who basically is like living up to every negative stereotype of mean, nasty, intolerant, and ill-informed Republicans. This is who he is. This is what he wants to do. And I just, you know, what's even more galling about it is the media's insistence upon conflating Todd Akin with every other Republican candidate.
I just, if this were a sporting event, Jim Garrity, the instant replay I would fire right now would be you declaring that if you're talking about rape in a political campaign like this, something has gone terribly awry. You're exactly right. I mean, this is just, what are we doing?
Good situation in which, no. Yeah, you know, yeah. No, well, don't talk about the great rape speeches by U.S.
No, no, no. Let's expect that Todd Akin, with this very bad martini, will probably be making the rounds before the end of the summer at various Democratic clubs around the country. Let's hope he just goes away. Let's move on, though, to a very weird martini. This is weird and crazy and already has me buzzing, Jim Garrity. Senate Majority Leader, let's hope that not for long, Harry Reid, just yesterday at the Senate, declaring this about the border.
The border is secure.
What more can we say, Jim? What more?
Yeah, you know, Greg and I have this recurring slogan, way to go, Nevada, way to go, in honor of their 2010 decision. Like, I get Sharon Angle's flaws. But really, Nevada, would it really be that bad? Now, what's kind of intriguing is you have this approach of certain Democrats to insist that, well, because we're catching them, it shows the border is secure. Well, yeah, except, one, we're catching them on our side. as opposed to their side of the border or at the border. And the second thing is that they want to get caught. Like, I mean, once they cross into U.S., they're trying really, really hard to get caught because they are operating under this seemingly erroneous, you know, conclusion that they will not be sent home. The U.S. is now allowing those who come under 18 to come across the border to stay in the country and get U.S. citizenship. Now, here's the thing. As I've, you know, said earlier, the president could pretty much solve, he never solved this, but, you know, mitigate this issue a great deal. It's, you know, picture a primetime, you know, Oval Office address saying, look, my message to the people of Central America is that if you do not send your children to the United States, we do not have an amnesty in place. There are no permisos. The people smugglers are lying to you. Turn around and go home. And he can't give that speech because he kind of does want to do an amnesty of bringing these people here. In the first martini, we talked about the perception of great political benefits to the Democrats if they pass one. So here's, you know, so part of the, you know, the other thing is we're seeing kind of this broader approach of Democrats that, you know, if there is a problem, one of the easiest ways of dealing with the problem is to deny that the problem actually exists. And so in Harry Reid's mind, you know, the border is secure. He doesn't understand what all of us are yammering about.
I just...
And rant. I've got nothing else. Yeah, that's all I can put it there.
I mean, perfectly said, perfectly stated. I don't know how else you explain crazy. Great point. Way to go, Nevada. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Well, listen, Jim Garrity, an amazing array of martinis for us today. We had the good martini in which illegal immigration may not be cutting for those Democrats so much anymore. We've got the very bad martini, one word, Aiken. And we've got the crazy martini, one word, Reid. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what more is there to say? Amazing. All right. Well, what do you say?
Crazy martini continues, Brett.
Absolutely. And we'll have three more tomorrow. If you'll have me back, we'll be here in the seats looking at the three martini lunch. I am Brett Witterbull for Greg Corumbus. That's Jim Garrity from National Review. It is the three martini lunch. We'll talk to you tomorrow.